Hello and welcome to the Leicester Mercury Talking Newspaper for the week commencing the 13th of May. It's produced by Vista, telephone number 0116 249 8839. Items are selected and read by Jill Gore, Brian Kennedy, Bill Endell and me, June McNeilance. And it's recorded by Ken Russell. The sunrise and sunset times for the week commencing the 26th of May. Sunrise 4:54 a.m. and sunset 9:09 p.m.
And the first item from Monday's Mercury is Grandfather died days after being knocked off his bicycle. A grandfather knocked off his bike by a man driving home from work died 15 days later. Jonathan Wilkinson was only travelling at about 5 miles an hour in his Vauxhall Astra when he knocked into Paul Naylor's bicycle at a junction. After carrying Mr. Naylor along on his bonnet for a short distance, he stopped and the 66-year-old cyclist slid onto the road, banging his head and suffering severe injury. Mr. Naylor, who lived in Burbage, near Hinckley, died in hospital 15 days later. Neil Bannister, prosecuting at Leicester Crown Court, said Mr. Wilkinson should have seen Mr. Naylor and reacted in a safe manner. The defendant was not distracted by a phone. There was no evidence of any alcohol or any drugs. But he confirmed he did not see Mr. Naylor until the collision happened. Delivery driver Wilkinson, 48, had been at work in Bumblebee Lane near Sharnford and was on his way to his mother's home in Nuneaton when the collision happened at the road's junction with the B4114 just after 4 p.m. on Tuesday, June the 5th, last year. Mr. Bannister said, "The loss of Mr. Naylor has obviously had a very devastating effect on his family. He was married for 44 years to his wife, Wendy. He was a grandfather and played a large part in the lives of his grandchildren as their father had died when they were young." In a victim impact statement read out in court, Mr. Naylor's daughter, Marianne Smith, described the effect the loss had on her teenage son and daughter after their father's own death from a brain tumour. Mrs. Smith said they were inconsolable. Their granddad was a second father to them. Their father died 10 years ago when they were 7 and 3. My dad had taken on the role of father, teaching them to ride their own bikes, looking after them when I had to go out, and putting them to bed and reading them stories. They loved going to stay with him. Mr. Bannister said Mr. Naylor regularly went out for long bike rides of up to 40 miles and wore bright colours but no helmet while out cycling. A nearby home captured the entire incident on CCTV. The footage showed the moment Mr. Naylor came to a halt at the giveaway junction with the B4114, put his left foot down and checked the traffic to see if it was safe to turn right. Just 12 seconds after he came to a halt, the slow-moving dark blue Vauxhall Astra comes into shot and collides with the bicycle. The court heard after Wilkinson was shown the CCTV footage by police, he broke down in tears. Wilkinson of the Circle, Nuneaton, pleaded guilty to causing death by careless driving during a sentencing hearing at Leicester Crown Court on Thursday. Daniel Oscroft, representing Wilkinson, said, "Mr. Wilkinson is extremely sorry for what he's done and accepts Mr. Naylor was blameless. It is an accident born out of complacency and over-familiarity with a stretch of road used every day, sometimes multiple times. A vehicle waiting at the junction can be easily seen. Unfortunately, because of the undergrowth, his view of the bicycle was obscured. His complacency meant he was not expecting to see anything else. He can never take back what he did, and he regrets his actions." Judge Nicholas Dean said he considered the crime did cross the custody threshold because it was, quote, "more than momentary inattention," but he decided to suspend the sentence, giving Wilkinson a 6-month term suspended for 12 months. He also disqualified Wilkinson from driving for 30 months.
Therapy room on cancer unit is opened by Tiger Stars. Leicester Tiger Stars, Tom Youngs, Sean Calamavoni, Freddie Tuilagi and Ross McMillan visited Leicester Royal Infirmary to help open a new treatment room for cancer patients. The players met patients and staff at the hospital as part of the opening of a new therapy room on the Children's Daycare Unit, the CDCU, at the city's main hospital. Tom Youngs was on hand to cut the ribbon to officially open the room, which helps the ongoing treatment of patients with cancer through sensory relief and massage therapy. Club sponsor Thomas Cook Sport and the Thomas Cook Children's Charity helped to support the development, the accident and emergency ward at the hospital, and worked with Leicester Tigers to arrange the players' visit. The players also visited the children's outpatients ward and children's accident and emergency, meeting patients and staff, handing out Tigers goodies and posing for photographs. Yvonne Saroud, a nurse and massage therapist on the CDCU Ward 27, said, "We had this idea quite a few years ago from a lady who had set up a complementary therapy room. Lots of people have helped and supported us to get here in terms of charitable funds and funding. It's going to make a huge difference in the lives of our patients because they're on a very difficult journey, and being able to offer an alternative to medical intervention, it's not curative, but it helps make patients relax and gives them that time away. It's going to be a huge asset to Ward 27 at Leicester Royal Infirmary, and thank you to everyone for supporting and coming along for the official opening and part of this special day for us all. Tigers players also make visits to Leicester hospitals at Christmas."
Cathedral hits jackpot with £3 million lottery heritage grant. Leicester Cathedral has received a massive boost in its efforts to raise £11.3 million for a major revamp of the building. Clergy have been informed that they will get a £3.3 million grant from the National Lottery Heritage Fund to help to pay for a new heritage learning centre to be built at the front of the Grade 2 star listed historic building in a project called Leicester Revealed. They say the centre is vital to modernise the cathedral's facilities and to help accommodate growing numbers of visitors coming to see the tomb of Richard III. Planning approval was secured for the centre earlier this year from the Cathedral's Fabric Commission for England and Leicester City Council, despite concerns about its modern design. The £3.3 million grant takes the project nearer to its fundraising target, but £3 million still needs to be raised. The Dean of Leicester, the Very Reverend David Monteith, said Leicester Cathedral Revealed is very important because it will transform what we will be able to do. It will protect the historic setting of the cathedral, free up the sacred spaces, provides inspirational interpretation and learning facilities, and be a safe place of hospitality and refuge for those in need. In every respect, it will transform the individual experience of being inside the cathedral. Since the reinterment of King Richard III in 2015, our city has benefited from £8 million additional income a year, thanks to the extraordinary upsurge in cultural tourists. This project has the potential to double that for the city. We're delighted and immensely grateful for the significant support we've received from the National Lottery Heritage Fund and from local individuals and organisations. We have now raised £8 million and have £3 million left to secure, so that there is still a job to be done. We'll continue to fundraise throughout 2019, and with the help of everyone who believes this project matters to all our communities, we'll get there. Leicester is one of three English cathedrals, the others being Worcester and Newcastle, to receive a total of more than £8 million from the latest round of major grants from the National Lottery Heritage Fund to protect and enhance their faith-based heritage and to extend their cultural and social contribution to their local communities and visitors. The Church of England's Director of Churches and Cathedrals, Becky Clark, said creating positive and lasting change for people and communities is a vision the National Lottery Heritage Fund shares with cathedrals. So the news that Leicester, Newcastle and Worcester cathedrals have all benefited from this most recent round of funding is tremendous. The value of our cathedrals is clear to the 10 million people who visit each year and to the hundreds of thousands who regularly attend worship. Work in Leicester is expected to begin on site in early 2020 and is anticipated to be completed by 2022.
£170,000 upgrade to car park is complete. A raft of upgrades to a busy Leicester city centre car park have been completed. The City Council has finished a £170,000 package of works at the 470 space Newark Street multi-storey. Council officials say they wanted to make the car park safer and easier for motorists to use. Automatic number plate recognition, ANPR, cameras have been installed. They could allow vehicles to be automatically let out once their stay has been paid for, without the driver having to stop, and could also be used to enable blue badge holders, contract parking and other permit holders to be automatically recognised and allowed to enter and exit. New payment stations, which will be more reliable and need less maintenance, have been installed, offering cash, chip and pin and contactless payment methods. An additional exit lane onto York Road has been established, but currently the street is undergoing a major £1.4 million revamp and has extensive roadworks. New CCTV cameras were also installed at the car park earlier in the year, and lighting has been improved throughout the building. The improvements have had some teething troubles, with a fault with the cameras causing delays to vehicles trying to get in last week. That has now been resolved by engineers. The works at Newark Street car park are the first phase of the council's plans to see improvements and new technology rolled out in car parks it owns across the city. Leicester Mayor Sir Peter Solesby said, "The work at Newark Street car park will make this very busy car park much easier and safer for motorists to use. The combination of updated technology, better payment machines and upgraded security ensures it will be far more secure, making it simple for people to use. We aim to continue this programme of improvement works in the other city council-owned car parks across Leicester to ensure all motorists get access to clean, safe city centre car parking. Further proposals include introducing a smartphone app offering payment by phone, along with plans for cashless parking in future." And that is the final item from Monday's newspaper.
The first item from Tuesday's Mercury is Vista Runners Up to Challenge. Early rising supporters of sight loss charity Vista were among nearly 600 people who took part in a 5-kilometre challenge at 5:30 a.m. Sunrise City, organised by Perfect Motion, saw the runners complete a route around Leicester city centre, starting and finishing at Victoria Park. Almost 50 runners were part of Team Vista, which consisted of members of the public, supporters, Vista employees and people supported by the charity. Pardy Gill, Sharon Finney and Chris Hammond successfully completed the route with the guiding assistance of Vista senior staff and volunteers, keeping them on the straight and narrow. Shilpa Gokarni, marketing manager at Vista, said it was lovely to have a big team of runners, including people who use Vista's services, taking part in order to raise vital funds for the charity. The money raised will make a real difference for local people with sight loss. To take part in a fundraising challenge, call 0116-249-8801 or fundraising@vistablind.org.uk.
Laurel's Cake Ban for WI members. Women's Institute members have been told to stop baking cakes for a hospice due to health and safety rules. The Leicestershire and Rutland WI has been told members must get environmental health approval for their kitchens to continue baking for Loros. Leicester City Council food safety experts inspected the kitchen of the hospice in Groby Road on February the 27th and told staff about the regulations. This means Loros can only accept cakes and pastries from people who have baked them in registered kitchens which have received a council food safety rating. Glenys Wignall, Vice Chairman of the Board of Trustees of Leicestershire and Rutland Women's Institute, said, "It's all very sad. Legislation is legislation, I'm afraid. We will have to be bound by the rules. We started baking cakes for Loros when it was set up. Our groups took it in turns to bake the cakes, but now that will all have to stop." A member of the Cossington WI, who did not want to be named, said, "This is health and safety gone mad. We've been baking cakes for the hospice for years and years, and no one has had a problem with anything. They take the cakes and pastries and freeze them and use them to give the patients and their visitors a lovely treat. It's awful. It's upsetting and penalising everyone for no good reason." The Leicestershire and Rutland WI was formed in 1918 and has 144 groups across the two counties. The ban was revealed in the monthly Leicestershire and Rutland WI magazine. The kitchen manager at Loros had sent a message to the WI group. It said, "We had our environmental health inspection yesterday and unfortunately the inspector has told us we cannot accept further donations of goods that have been baked in someone's home kitchen unless they are registered with their local authority, which means their kitchen's being inspected and a food safety rating being given. We can only accept cakes baked at a registered address. I'm sorry if this means the baking has to stop, as our patients have loved the cakes and pies that you have so kindly donated. So unless the people who are baking for you can conform to this, I'm afraid that no cakes can be accepted by Loros. Thank your members for baking in the past." Loros Facilities and Operations Manager Helen Williams said she echoed the feelings of the WI members. She said, "We did receive an inspection from Environmental Health, and if we don't comply with the report, we could risk jeopardising our own food rating certificate here at Loros. We've loved receiving donations from so many generous supporters, like the WI, but unfortunately this is a decision made by the local authority, not by our organisation." Leicester City Council spokesman said, "The most recent food hygiene inspection of Loros rated the establishment as 5, very good, the highest possible rating. However, to comply with current food safety regulations, the cake maker that supplies the snack must be registered with the council as a food establishment."
I took £5 yesterday. Traders decry chaos. Businesses have hit out at Leicester City Council over the chaos caused by long-running roadworks on London Road. A £3.9 million scheme to put cycle lanes along the A6 from the railway station to Victoria Park got underway in October, and companies have told the Leicester Mercury the on-running works are causing major disruption to their trade. Lanes have been closed, pavements dug up, and parking spaces removed as the scheme progresses. Ronald Shee opened his Oriental supermarket, the old street corner, only this week. and promptly saw the pavement directly outside his shop near the station dug up. He said, "Nobody's coming in. It's not a great start. It's difficult for people to get here because of the roadworks. I can only hope it'll get easier." Michael Clinton has run a barber shop in London Road for 30 years. He said it's just chaos. There's nowhere for customers to park, so they stay away. It's not so bad for us because we're mainly appointments rather than passing trade, but it's made things so difficult for deliveries. People say it will be worth it, and it'll be good when it's finished. But for the money they're spending and the disruption it's causing, I don't think it is worth it. Leicester is not a cycling city. Anyway, the answer is letting people ride on New Walk, not spending millions on new cycle lanes. A spokesman for Top Carpi Interiors, which has been trading from a shop in London Road for 20 years, said it's a joke. The council has taken out all the parking near us and has traffic wardens waiting to pounce on anyone who tries to stop. I took £5 yesterday. There's zero trade at the moment. It's totally dried up because the works make it too much hassle for people to get here. This has been going on for months, and we've got months to go. The council says it will be finished in August, but I think it'll take much longer. We just have to stick it out. What else can we do? One restaurant owner, who asked not to be named, said the council has put up signs that give the impression London Road is closed for business. It's hitting us hard. Since the roadworks started, our trade is down by 7%, and I expected it would have grown by 3% otherwise. The overnight road closures have been particularly bad for us. While businesses are struggling, we are still paying huge amounts of business rates. The council says we can apply for business rates relief, but the forms are so onerous, and at the end of it, the impact is negligible. We need actual, proper help.
Emotional run round stadium. Players, fans, staff and Leicester City vice-chairman Eyawat Top Srivaddan Aprabraha joined club legend Alan Birchinall for his annual end-of-season run at the King Power Stadium. The 39th edition of the traditional fundraiser was an emotional affair for the charismatic club ambassador, with money raised from Sunday's pre-match jog around the pitch going to the Vijay Srivaddan Aprabraha Foundation in honour of the Foxes' late owner and chairman. The Birch, who suffered a near-fatal heart attack just over 2 years ago, was cheered on from his stands as he bravely completed his 90-minute run in balmy conditions that would later test the City players as they were held to a 0-0 draw by Chelsea. He wasn't short of support down on the pitch either, with manager Brendan Rodgers and his City stars also putting in a shift for the cause. They were accompanied by 11-year-old Kian Deasy, who was invited by the Birch to take part after raising more than £3,000 for the Vijay Srivaddan Aprabraha Foundation earlier this year. He raised the money by running 60 miles in 60 days, despite suffering from asthma. Following Sunday's fundraiser, Kian posted a tweet thanking everyone for their support. He said, "Thank you for your incredible support. It was hot, and I'd only had 4 hours sleep. Thanks to the Birch, too. You are a legend." Fans were invited to offer donations online and via text, and gave generously to a bucket collection inside and outside the ground. The former Foxes Foundation was renamed in memory of Kun Vijay following his tragic death, along with four others last October, when his helicopter crashed while leaving the King Power Stadium. Recuperating at home from his exertions, the Birch said, "All the aches and pains were worth it." He said, "It was a very emotional occasion. given what happened back in October. Top started us off and joined me for the first lap or so, and I think it was particularly emotional for him, too. Brendan, who came out for four laps, and the lads did everyone proud, and little Kian was loving it too. I wasn't loving it that much when he was lapping me, mind you. The 73-year-old added, "It's getting harder." I had my cardiologist to one side of me and the club doctor on the other to make sure I was okay. But I was determined to do it. I had the Blue Army to spur me on. Everyone was fantastic, and I'd like to thank them all. Donations can still be made by texting LCFC33 with the amount to 70070 or going to justgiving.com/VS Foundation. That was the final item from Tuesday's paper.
The first item from Wednesday's Mercury is housing along the A46, new council leader bids to revisit plans. Controversial plans to build 38,000 homes along the route of a proposed A46 expressway through East and South Leicestershire need to be revisited, according to a newly elected district council leader. Councillor Phil King, who took charge of Harborough District Council this week, says other options need to be properly looked at before settling on a plan that involves, quote, carpeting over hundreds of acres of green land. The proposed A46 expressway would broadly run in a loop from the Hobby Horse roundabout near Syston before arcing round the city and joining the M1 between junctions 20 and 21, then continuing to the M69 at Hinckley. No precise route has yet been disclosed, but the expressway would create a corridor where some 38,000 homes could be built. It is a key part of the Leicestershire Strategic Growth Plan, that's SGP, a strategy designed to plan future population growth in the city and the county, which indicates 180,000 new homes will be needed by 2051. Harborough District Council endorsed the SGP in principle in 2017, along with the county's six other district councils, Leicester City Council and Leicestershire County Council. However, Councillor King says it is time to look again at Harborough District Council's position after he was chosen to take over the leadership by fellow Conservative councillors. Councillor King, who beat former council leader Neil Bannister in a crunch leadership vote on Monday evening, said, "When this, the SGP, first came before us in 2017, we were told it was the only option. But it is controversial, and councillors and the public have said we need to look at it again. That's what I want to do. I want to see if there is another option that doesn't involve carpeting over hundreds of acres of green land. I've not had any alternatives put in front of me, and I want to be absolutely clear that if there are other ways, they must be looked at. Our area will be one of the most affected by the plan, and I want to ask our other partners if they would also like to look again at this. With the general political situation in the country at the moment, I don't think people like being told there is only one option, and if you don't like it, that's tough." Councillor King said he was sceptical about Leicester City Council's assertion there is not enough room within its boundaries to accommodate its government-set housing growth targets. That has meant other councils have agreed to take portions of the City Council's housing share in their areas. Councillor King said, "The city needs to do more and build housing at a greater density. If the jobs will be in the city in the future, it makes sense to have the homes near to them, so people don't have to travel." The other week it refused permission for a scheme at Lee Circle, which looked very good to me, and would have provided hundreds of new homes. The new leader will be confirmed at the District Council's annual general meeting on Monday. He heads a 22-strong Tory group, which retained control of the council in the elections earlier this month. He said, "I'm absolutely delighted that my fellow councillors have placed their faith in me to become the leader of Harborough District Council. The feedback from the doorstep tells us we face a number of new challenges in addition to the election commitments we have already made. Voters like how we kept council tax down to less than it was 10 years ago, but are unsure what we do for them except empty bins and planning applications. They liked how we now have a local plan and 21 neighbourhood plans, but we need to do more to restore confidence and trust in communities blighted by developers and builders. My focus will be on strengthening community cohesion, the social glue that helps to bind residents together to help communities feel they belong." Supporters of the SGP, including Labour Leicester Mayor Sir Peter Soulsby and Tory County Council leader Nick Rushton, say it is the best way to try to manage future development.
Selfish parking. More parents are facing fines. Parents who park dangerously and selfishly outside 21 more primary schools run the risk of being fined from now on. Officials at Leicestershire County Council have announced they're rolling out their School Keep Clear campaign, in which a car equipped with CCTV is being used to catch drivers who stop on mandatory zigzag zones outside school gates. A total of 78 schools across the county are now participating in the scheme, with a further 77 set to join the programme later this year, subject to consultations. Since it was launched in September, 22 warnings have been issued and 149 £70 penalties have been processed to motorists parking illegally. Councillor Blake Payne, County Council Cabinet Member for Environment and Transport, said, "We know that inconsiderate and dangerous parking outside schools can be a real problem, and we believe the School Keep Clear scheme has gone some way to alleviate concerns in communities where we now enforce. It's great to see more schools getting involved, and I would urge those that haven't signed up to get in touch to find out more. The work involves ensuring traffic regulation orders are in place through upgrading mandatory signs and lines so the zones are enforceable. Enforcement officers carry out their normal duties while the camera car is being used as part of the scheme. Using automatic number plate recognition technology, the car is used by officers to collect the necessary evidence to enable fines to be issued via post to drivers who park on zigzag markings." Councillor Payne said, "The trial isn't about catching and fining motorists. We want people to stop parking inconsiderately near schools, as it endangers the lives of pedestrians and causes a great deal of concern for schools and parents. We work closely with schools and colleges to improve issues around on-street parking, which involves providing help and guidance on school travel plans to help tackle the problems where necessary."
Jailed 36 hours after breaking into mosque. Speedy justice saw a man who burgled a mosque locked up just 36 hours after committing the offence. Police officers on a routine patrol in the Humberston Road area of Leicester during the early hours of Sunday morning heard a security alarm going off at the Faiza Eraza Mosque. They approached the building, which used to be the True Jesus Church, went in through an open door and found Kieran Smith hiding in one of the rooms. A window and door in the mosque were damaged, and a large cash box, normally kept in the prayer hall, was found in another room. Smith, of no fixed address, was charged with burglary and appeared at Leicester Magistrates Court the next morning, where he pleaded guilty to burglary and was jailed for 3 months. The 39-year-old also pleaded guilty to driving while disqualified and with no insurance, for an unrelated offence in January this year. He was jailed for another 3 months and disqualified from driving for 3 years. Inspector Paul Allen, commander for the East Leicester neighbourhood, policing area for Leicestershire Police, said this result is a great example of police work. A prolific offender with a history of committing burglaries was arrested, charged, appeared in court, and was jailed within 36 hours of the incident. These types of offences leave a massive impact on the local community. The mosque is a listed building, and the cost of repairing the damage will be significant for them. We will continue to work closely with the Crown Prosecution Service and courts to ensure that offenders are dealt with swiftly and face the consequences of their actions.
Plan to reduce recycling banks. People are being asked their views on reorganising the city's network of recycling bank sites. Leicester City Council provides 62 recycling bank sites. Most have a glass recycling bank, and about half, that is 27, of the sites offer paper and cardboard recycling. The consultation, which runs until June the 10th, is asking for people's opinions on proposals to reduce the number of cycling banks and replace these with new and improved facilities at 25 key sites where people would be able to recycle a wider range of materials. Since the introduction of the orange bag recycling service in 2011, the amount of recycling collected from the bring banks has reduced significantly. This is because people can now more easily recycle paper, card and glass as part of their curbside collection. In 2010, over 450 tonnes of paper and card and about 375 tonnes of glass were collected from the bring banks. Last year, 150 tonnes of paper and card and 200 tonnes of glass were dropped off at the sites. On average, the amount of recycling collection from the city's orange bag service is 16,000 tonnes a year. Councillor Adam Clark said, "The current recycling bank arrangements have been in place for many years. Since 2011, fewer and fewer people have been using these bring banks to recycle their waste paper, cardboard and glass, preferring the convenience of the orange bag. With ongoing pressures on council budgets, it's vital we look at whether these bring banks still represent an efficient way of helping people recycle. Many of the bring bank sites are barely used and starting to look a bit tired. We want to address this by revamping and improving facilities at key sites across the city and removing any existing bring banks that are no longer needed. Textiles recycling banks will be unaffected. The council will continue to manage the 36 existing banks. Use of these has grown considerably in the past 10 years. In 2010, just under 100 tonnes of textiles was collected from the banks. Last year, this was over 250 tonnes. Textiles cannot be recycled as part of the orange bag service. People can take part in the consultation by completing a survey at leicester.gov.uk/consultation. And that was the final item from Wednesday's newspaper.
And the first item for Thursday's Mercury is County Hall declares a climate emergency. A climate emergency has been declared in Leicestershire as county councillors unanimously backed a motion calling for more to be done by the authority to cut pollution. Councillors across all three parties agreed to cut emissions with an aim to make the county council's operations carbon neutral by 2030. Climate change campaigners have said there are only 12 years before irreversible damage to the planet is caused. Campaign group Extinction Rebellion was at County Hall to see the motion unanimously passed. The group held a picnic before the annual full council meeting yesterday afternoon. Labour councillor Max Hunt moved the motion. He said, as shown by the work of Leicestershire's own David Attenborough, this is a crisis that needs urgent attention. Change needs to happen, and it must happen in our lifetime. We need to work smarter and more differently to reduce carbon emissions. Seconding the motion, Councillor Blake Payne, lead member for Environment at the Tory-led council, said, by 2030, Leicestershire County Council wants to emit zero carbon from activities under our control. This will require hard cash and hard resources to back it up. Leader of the Lib Dem opposition, Councillor Simon Galton, was applauded by campaigners when he suggested that rather than sell land for development, the council holds onto it and use it for farmland. He said, capital receipt to the council is ranked higher than climate change. That needs to change. Councillor Terry Ion, Labour leader, said, as a trainee doctor, I learned a new word for uncontrolled growth, cancer. That's what our planet has. Sometimes I sit in the surgery and tell a patient, if they don't make changes, they will die in the next 5 years. They sometimes listen, most don't. They're dead within 5 years. We need to listen and make the changes today. Councillors unanimously backed the motion.
Celebrating the 150th chick in return of the ospreys. There was a momentous moment earlier this week when the 150th osprey chick hatched at Rutland Water Nature Reserve. The Leicestershire and Rutland Wildlife Trust project has pioneered the reintroduction of ospreys, a magnificent bird of prey, back into England where they had been extinct for over 150 years. Ospreys were wiped out in England by persecution through egg collector and taxidermy and by habitat loss. They ceased to be a breeding species in England in the 1840s, even though they had once been widely distributed across areas such as the Fens, which had good breeding and feeding habitat for these spectacular fish-eating birds. Between 1996 and 2001, 64 six-week-old Scottish ospreys were released at Rutland Water Reservoir in England's smallest county. The first translocated osprey returned to breed at its adopted home in 2001, and the number of breeding pairs has gradually increased since then. There are now 25 ospreys in total in the area, and 8 breeding pairs among them. This year's osprey chicks are likely to remain in England until early September, when they will set off on a 3,000-mile migration to West Africa. If they survive the epic journey, the young birds will remain in Africa until they're 2 years old. Visitors to Linden Nature Reserve at Rutland Water, LE158RN, can view the osprey nest from a dedicated osprey watching hide or via a live webcam at ospreys.com.uk/webcam.
It's going to be a magical wedding. A Harry Potter mad couple from Wigston are taking their love for the series to the next level for their forthcoming wedding. Rhea Scriggins has been a huge Harry Potter fan since she was a child and has memorabilia around the house, tattoos and Potter-themed clothing. I grew up with the stories, and every time I watch the films, it takes me back to my younger years, she says. But I'd never met someone who liked it as much as me. Rhea said she'd always wanted a Harry Potter-themed wedding, but had not found anyone who shared her passion. That all changed when the 34-year-old met Matthew Tipper, 31. She said, I mentioned to him that I wanted a Harry Potter-themed wedding, and he agreed. We're both really excited, but also quite nervous for the wedding. The pair have gone all out to pay tribute to the world of Harry Potter for decorations, food, photo booth, and even their vows. Rhea said, in our vows, I will say, after all this time, and together we will say, always. The line from the final book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, is spoken by Professor Severus Snape, revealing he loved Harry's mother. The colour scheme for the wedding is burgundy and gold, matching the couple's Hogwarts house Gryffindor. Rhea said the tables all have little golden snitches on them, which are Ferrero Rocher chocolates with wings on. My dress is obviously white, but it's in the same style as the one Hermione wears for the Yule Ball from the Triwizard Tournament in the fourth film. Matthew is wearing a burgundy Gryffindor suit. He's really going with the theme. The couple are also encouraging the fans among their guests to dress up. Even the confetti is themed, as it consists of little hearts made out of pages of the Harry Potter books. In a competition on the day, guests will put their names into a replica Triwizard cup, and whoever's is drawn out will win a huge Harry Potter hamper. The couple have even hired a restored blue Ford Anglia, identical to the one from the second book and film Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, except that theirs doesn't fly. Rhea said, "That's coming up from Kent, from a man who restored it. It opens with a wand." After the wedding on May the 24th, the couple are going to the Harry Potter studios in Watford for their honeymoon. This is not the first time the two have shown their love for the Potterverse, as the couple have a 9-month-old daughter called Luna, named after Luna Lovegood from the series. Rhea said she even has a Harry Potter playroom. She'll be wearing a little white dress on the day and will have a garland made of red and gold flowers. I won't be dressing her up as Dobby the house elf or anything.
Making sure sacrifices are truly never forgotten. Rescued war memorials from around Leicestershire and Rutland will be put on display at the weekend. A project is inviting people to attend an open day on Saturday to learn the stories behind the many war memorials it has rescued and restored. The Leicester City, County and Rutland at Risk War Memorials project also wants to encourage residents to get involved in its work. This could include researching, recording, and learning about the history behind the names on the memorials, the communities they came from, and how to conserve memorials in their areas. The open day is free to visit and runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the chancel behind Leicester All Saints Church at 107 Highcross Street. The project was formally set up in 2012 by Dennis Kenyon and Chris Stevens, who, having witnessed the destruction of memorials at Leicester's St Saviour's Church, were determined to create an organisation able to take direct action to rescue other memorials at risk of being lost through theft or vandalism. In 2013, the project received Heritage Lottery funding, and since then has gone from strength to strength. The open days are a great way for the public to see the many different memorials from various conflicts, said Dennis. These range from the 3-metre-high Second World War memorial window, rescued from the Aylston and District Working Men's Club, to the moving inscription which commemorates those of the Leicester Boy Scouts Association, lost in the First World War. Chris said, "There's a Latin inscription on one of the memorial tablets dedicated to those from Alderman Newton School who lost their lives in the two world wars. The inscription translates as, 'Not for ourselves, but for those who follow.' We hope that those visitors who see our exhibition at the open day join us in adopting and embracing this motto for future generations."
Players' Player Ford is also fans' choice. The performances of George Ford and Jake Kerr this season were recognised by Leicester Tigers supporters. Fly Half Ford, who had already been named Players' Player of the Year, took the supporters' accolade at the awards dinner. And Hooker Carr, who has enjoyed a breakthrough season in 2018-19, was named the Fans' Young Player of the Year. Ford is the leading point scorer in the Gallagher Premiership, with just Saturday's match with Bath to come. After receiving the trophy, he said, "It has been a tough year and challenged all of us, but I have massive belief we will get back to where we belong. There are some great names in the list of past winners of this award, but in a team sport, you can't do anything without your teammates." Other awards on the night saw back row forward Guy Thompson named as the best newcomer, while Johnny May's score in the win over Newcastle Falcons in April was voted try of the season by supporters. There was recognition too for Matthew Tate, who announced his retirement from the game this season due to injury. The former England Test back received the Outstanding Service Award, having made 143 appearances for the club. There was a special Tigers Family Award to Barbara Thomas, wife of the late Tudor Thomas, the former team secretary, president and life member, who died last summer after more than half a century's association with the club. The evening also hosted presentations to the Leicester Tigers wheelchair rugby team, who won a second successive Super Series league title and just missed out on a double at the National Championship. Nick Cummins was named Players' Player of the Year, with Ian Bragg receiving the Appreciation Award. And that is the final item from Thursday's Mercury. The first article for Friday, May the 17th, is "Aldo Saved My Life and Now We're Getting Married." A couple looking forward to their summer wedding proved to be a perfect match in more ways than one after he gave up one of his kidneys to save her life. Geraldine Chingosho, a trainee nurse from Leicester, knows she has found true love with fellow medic Aldo Cataldi. The pair had only just begun dating when the 22-year-old was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease in May 2017. Geraldine's initial response had been to push Aldo away, believing their fledgling romance would not withstand her illness. "I told Aldo that he should leave me and that we shouldn't pursue a relationship because I'd be in and out of hospital," she said. "I didn't think it would be fair on him to be lumbered with a sick person." But Aldo, 27, had other plans, and when it emerged that no family members or relatives were compatible donors, he jumped at the chance to be her hero. "He told me it didn't matter that I was ill and that he would be there for me no matter what," she said. "It was really early days and we weren't even boyfriend and girlfriend at that time." The pair had met in January 2017 while both were working at a care home, and he added her on Facebook when he left the job a few months later. After her diagnosis, Geraldine was told her kidney was functioning at just 20% and she would need a transplant. Aldo was there for her throughout, including daily dialysis and several hospital stays. "He would come from work after a 12-and-a-half-hour shift in the hospital and bring me food," said Geraldine. "He'd help me to get dressed and would speak to the doctors to find out exactly what was going on. He was Superman, my own superhero, while I was poorly. He took care of me and my whole dialysis regime. He basically became my carer." When it became apparent her relatives couldn't be donors, Aldo also demanded to be tested. She said, "I was really panicking. I felt suicidal and was suffering from depression. It was a lot to deal with." Aldo said he wanted to get tested. "I even told him, 'But you're a white Italian, you're not going to be a match. We're different ethnicities.' But he wouldn't give in. He kept saying, 'Just let me get tested.'" Aldo proposed to Geraldine on her birthday while on holiday in Portugal. She said, "I was stunned and just thought, why does he want to marry me when he could find someone who is normal and who doesn't have as many health problems as me?" Later the same day, they found out he was a match and was given the go-ahead to donate a kidney. He received the news over the phone while I was sleeping and woke me up in tears, said Geraldine. He kept saying, I'm a match. I told him, you're lying, it's impossible, you can't be. We were both in complete shock, but we were over the moon. It was like all my birthdays had come at once. The pair underwent the kidney transplant on February the 21st at Leicester Royal Infirmary. It was a success, and the happy couple are now looking forward to their wedding in August. For Aldo, his selfless gesture was just the right thing to do. He said, donating my kidney to my fiancé was such a normal thing for me to do, I didn't really think about it. The most important thing is she'll feel better and have a better quality of life. I didn't do it for the spotlight or anything, but because it was the right thing to do. Geraldine added, Aldo has saved my life, and I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with him.
On a roll, toilet tissue company to create 50 jobs. Bosses at a toilet roll and kitchen towel factory hope to create 50 new jobs and a double capacity thanks to a multi-million pound investment. Leicester Tissue Company, LTC, has secured £6 million of funding from HSBC UK to carry out its growth plans. The business, which is currently operating at full capacity, is installing two new production lines that will be up and running later this year at its 105,000 square foot plant in Thurmaston. LTC currently produces 20,000 tonnes of tissue a year and supplies big retailers including Poundland, Aldi and Wilkinson's. Once the new lines are running, LTC will generate an extra 20,000 tonnes of tissue per year, enabling the business to fulfil new interest from several supermarket brands. In the next 12 months, it hopes to increase annual turnover by 90% to £38 million. The Mercury revealed the plans late last year, with the £6 million investment coming on top of £18 million spent on the Thurmaston site so far. The number of jobs on the production floor will double to around 100, while the overall number of staff will go up from around 70 to about 120. The business only launched in 2014 and relocated to an industrial estate in Westmoreland Avenue early in 2018. Manager Director Ayaz Tajani said, as a manufacturer for some of the UK's leading retail brands, it's important that we regularly invest in new machinery to meet high consumer demands. We have a long-term vision for growth, and these plans are underway with the installation of the new production lines. We're incredibly grateful to our HSBC UK Relationship Director, Richard Parker, who understood our business and funding requirements. We look forward to working directly with him again as the business grows. Roger Pratt, HSBC Area Director for Corporate Banking in East Midlands, said, HSBC UK is committed to supporting ambitious SMEs, that's small and medium enterprises, with their expansion plans, and LTC is no exception. The tissue market is extremely competitive, and due to rising consumer demand, Ayaz and his team have great opportunity to grow the business. We're excited about the business's potential, and we wish them the best for the future. The business buys in its paper on big reels on the open market before converting it into smaller rolls. In 2022, management hopes to invest a further £25 million in their own paper mill, hopefully in the north of the county, giving greater control over the production process. The business was launched by Chairman and Chief Executive Amin Tajani, whose family made millions in 2010 when they sold an earlier £300 million turnover tissue business called Leicester Paper Company in Hamilton to Italian giant Sofidel. His son and Chief Financial Officer Ayaz Tajani is responsible for the day-to-day running of the business.
Rejected donations are among rubbish being dumped near a city charity shop. A street in the west end of the city has become a dumping ground for items rejected by a charity shop, according to the shop's deputy manager. The junction of Gaul Street and Narborough Road is attracting a range of dumped household waste, including chairs and televisions. Paul Blondeau, 28, deputy manager of the Loros shop in Narborough Road, noticed the problem when he went to take the rubbish out. He said there's an alley outside at the back where we take our bins for collection. Around there are bags, broken furniture and all sorts. Paul says he often recognises some of the tipped rubbish. He said sometimes we've had it once or twice where we can't accept an item in the shop, such as big pieces or broken furniture. Then I'll go out the next day and see it on the road, around the corner. Anything and everything gets abandoned there. Paul is concerned about the site and how much it's costing the city council to clean it up. He said it's a bit disrespectful, and I presume it is the people who live in the area. It's where they live, and I'm surprised it's being allowed to happen. It's up to the people who are leaving the rubbish there to stop dumping. Our Grot Spot 2019 campaign is on a mission to clean up spots such as this one. Readers are being asked to tell us about areas of the city that are blighted by fly-tipping, litter and general grot. From there, we will liaise with the City Council to mobilise a team at sites across the city to clean them up and make the area a better place. Through our campaign, we aim to clean up 10 sites across the city in the next 3 months. Last year, the council removed more than 6,500 tonnes of rubbish from public land, and this additional cleaning of the city cost an extra £280,000.
Man in his 40s stabbed in city street. A man in his 40s has been taken to hospital after a stabbing in Welford Road. Police were called after the victim was found on the pavement shortly after 4 p.m. yesterday. He suffered a single stab wound in the incident. He was taken to nearby Leicester Royal Infirmary and his injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. Police said no arrests had been made. A spokeswoman said, "We were called to Welford Road just after 4 p.m. after a man was found injured. The victim, a man in his 40s, was taken to hospital, suffering from a stab wound. His injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. An area of Welford Road was cordoned off, but that has since been lifted, and inquiries are continuing." And that is the final item from Friday's newspaper.
And the first item for Saturday, May the 18th, is man fined for naming victim of sex attack on Facebook. A man who named the victim of a sexual assault on Facebook has been prosecuted. David Hurst disclosed the woman's name on the site hours after her attacker had appeared in court. Former city councillor Paul Newcombe was convicted of 2 counts of sexual assault on the woman after a trial in September. Hurst appeared at Leicester Magistrates Court to admit a charge identifying her in breach of the Sexual Offences Amendment Act 1992. In a statement read to the court, the victim said, "I just wanted to forget about it, not relive it. That has been taken away from me at the click of a button." District Judge Nick Watson told Hurst, "The post was clearly maliciously placed. The law protects people who have suffered sexual offences for very good reasons. It's difficult enough to get people to come forward and give evidence. By posting what you did, you not only upset her, but you made it less likely others would come forward to give evidence in such cases." Okay.
Fraudster got victims to disclose bank details. A fraudster posed as a bank employee to obtain scores of people's account details weeks after he was released from a prison sentence for similar crimes. Zachariah Issa, 22, used the information he obtained from 160 TSB customers, including personal details and passwords, to try to withdraw £16,500 from their accounts. However, his attempted fraud was detected by the TSB, which blocked the transactions and alerted a police anti-fraud team. The Dedicated Card and Payment Crime Unit, the DCPCU, which is funded by the banking industry, arrested Issa in his home in Leicester in October. Investigators searched his home and found a large quantity of cash and his victim's bank details stored on mobile phones. Issa hacked into the TSB customers' online bank accounts between March and October 2018. He appeared at Leicester Crown Court and was found guilty of fraud, and he was jailed for 4 years. In November 2017, he had been jailed for being a member of a gang which went on a spending spree with £120,000 of stolen cash. Issa was sentenced to 14 months in prison at Woolwich Crown Court for that offence. Detective Constable Matt Connell, who investigated the latest case for the DCPCU, said, "Issa ruthlessly targeted customers, impersonating the bank to try to trick people into giving away information that he then used to hack into their accounts. This shows why people should always question any uninvited requests for personal information in case it's a scam. Remember that a genuine bank will never contact you out of the blue to ask for your PIN, full password, or to move money to another account." Ashley Hart, head of fraud at TSB, said, "Working with the National Fraud Intelligence Bureau, we were able to supply evidence to identify the criminal behind these attacks."
Suspected drugs plus axe seized. A man and a boy were arrested after police found an axe, cash, and what are believed to be Class A drugs in a car. The search was carried out by officers from Spinney Hill Park Police Station. They shared photographs of the seized items on social media. A police spokeswoman said at about 3:45 p.m. on Thursday, officers arrested a 23-year-old man and a boy aged 16 on suspicion of possession with intent to supply a Class A drug after stopping a vehicle in Highfield Street, Leicester. They were further arrested on suspicion of possession of an offensive weapon. They have since been released under investigation. Officers recovered a modified axe, cash, and a quantity of what is believed to be Class A drugs.
"I'll do my best for city I love," says our first new citizen. A little lady with a very big heart has been elected Leicester's new Lord Mayor. Annette Byrne has been chosen by her fellow city councillors to serve as first citizen for the coming year. She has taken over the chains of office from outgoing Conservative Ross Grant. A ceremony was held at Leicester Town Hall to mark the occasion. Labour Group member Councillor Di Kank proposed Councillor Byrne for the position, saying, "She's a little lady with a very big heart. She's held in very high regard around the city." City Mayor Sir Peter Soulsby said, "She'll be an excellent first citizen. She knows the city well and is well equipped to represent us in a way that will be admirable." While the Lord Mayor's position is largely ceremonial, it carries the influential task of chairing meetings of the full council. The new Lord Mayor said, "I will try to do my best for this wonderful city of ours. I love it and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else." Councillor Byrne was born in Belgrave and has always lived in Leicester. She lives in Momacre and has represented the Abbey Ward as a Labour councillor since 2007. She was educated at Rushymead School for Girls, and when she left school, she worked in the hosiery trade. During her term of office, she has chosen to support two charities, the vet charity PDSA and the Air Ambulance Service. Both charities are non-government funded and rely heavily on public donations. The PDSA in Leicester sees about 125 pets each day, providing a free service to injured and sick pets. The Air Ambulance Service operates two helicopters across Leicestershire, Derbyshire, Rutland, Warwickshire and Northamptonshire, providing a rapid response to trauma and medical emergencies. Councillor Byrne has one daughter, Tara, who will support her as Lady Mayoress during her year in office. She will also be supported by her consort, Councillor Sue Hunter. Councillor Grant was thanked for his term in office and will now leave the council, having lost his Knighton seat, the only one held by the Conservatives in the elections earlier this month. Knighton Ward Councillor Lynn Moore said he had been a terrific Lord Mayor. She said, "He shows the compassionate side of conservation, which is all too rare in these days. He shows the compassionate side of conservatism, which is all too rare these days."
Desperate search as widow with dementia gives her husband's medals to passerby. A desperate search has been launched to find a late war veteran's medals after his dementia-suffering widow gave them away to a stranger in the street. Molly Tomlin's husband, John, earned the four medals during service with the Army in Germany in the 1950s and in the Korean War. The 89-year-old, who died in February, has been his wife's carer. Since his death, Molly got into the habit of giving possessions away to neighbours near her home in the Groby Road area of Leicester. She would also hand items to passers-by. The couple's daughter, Annie Brooks, said the majority of the possessions had been returned by caring neighbours, but John's medals remain missing. Teaching assistant Annie said, "Mum was diagnosed with dementia 3 or 4 years ago. Dad was her carer. Before he died, none of us really knew how bad the dementia had become because Dad had been doing such a brilliant job looking after her. Unfortunately, Mum has started giving stuff away to the neighbours. They've been great and returned everything and kept an eye on her, but she would also talk to strangers in the street. That's where we think the medals were missing. We don't know exactly when it happened, but it was about a month ago. We asked Mum if she had given them away and she said, 'Did I?' She lives in the present but can't remember things well." Molly, 80, who celebrated 60 years of marriage with John in October, is now being looked after in a home. One of the medals has John's name inscribed on it. Annie said she wished she had photos of them that she could share. The family had hoped to give the medals to John and Molly's grandson. Annie said, "We just want to get the medals back because they are of real sentimental value. Mum used to sleep with them under her pillow with his beret. She's not found things easy since he's been gone. It would mean the world to us if we could get them back. Whoever has them won't be in any trouble. The medals could be handed in to the police, or Annie can be contacted on Twitter at beaverbrook23. Alternatively, contact Leicester Mercury on 0116 366 5213.
Who's the best ever? I am. In case there was any doubt as to the best ever Leicester-born footballer, Gary Lineker has cleared it up. When football kit designer Emilio Sansolini asked fans to name the best footballer from their city, Gary did not need the 280 characters Twitter allows per tweet. His reply at 10:14 p.m. on Tuesday was, "Me." The competition for Gary includes much-capped England goalkeeper Peter Shilton, as well as fellow internationals Dion Dublin and Emil Heskey. One Twitter user suggested to Gary that Heskey was the better player, while another objection came from a Birmingham City fan who said, "That one goes to Che Adams, formerly of Oadby Tyne and Elkinston, not you, Gary fella." Another tweeter admired Gary's self-confidence, saying, "Don't know if he is right or wrong, but it must feel good to be able to give this answer to that question." And that completes this week's readings.
And that means we've reached the end of the Leicester Mercury talking newspaper. If you wish to contact the Sound Services Department of Vista, please telephone the Vista helpline on 0116 249 8839. So it's goodbye from
Bill,
Jill,
Brian
and me, June. Goodbye.